Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You want a definition of faith? Underline that. That is the best definition of faith you can get. I believe God.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about storms. This message was recorded during a chapel service in 2003. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, storms.
It was a day like today, November 7th, 1975, when the Edmund Fitzgerald pulled out of Superior, Wisconsin, loaded with taconite. Pleasant weather, very softly blowing wind, a sunny day. And because there was no way to detect storms as they have now with the ability to detect storms, they had no idea what they were heading into. And soon they were in 30-foot waves. And as they got up to Whitefish Point, just before the St. Mary's River, the Edmund Fitzgerald went down, all 29 on board. But it was a day like today. But this is the time of the year when you look at the sailing and you have no idea what you're getting into. Yesterday morning, I stood at the Sioux Locks. I watched the large ships go through. I stayed there to watch two ships to go through before I drove back. The Roger Blau that became the queen of the seas after the Edmund Fitzgerald. And then a 1,000-footer, the Columbia Star. And it was like today, and I thought they're heading into Lake Superior. They don't know what is coming. You know that reality has come. You're no longer in port. You have loosed the moorings, and you are now out in the high seas. And sometimes you run into a storm. And I think of all of the storms in the scripture, the most detailed report of a storm is given in Acts chapter 27. And I want to speak this morning on storms. How do we face storms that come in our lives? And Paul was being sent to Rome, and Aristarchus, one of his buddies, Dr. Luke was with him. And then he was under the care of Julius, a Roman centurion, because Paul had appealed to Caesar. When Paul said, I appeal to Caesar, all local jurisdiction was ended. And he was headed to Rome. And as they took ship, they ended up in contrary winds, and they went to Myra, city of Lycia, and Myra was the main port that was on the route from Italy to Egypt. And they were put on an Egyptian grain ship. Typical size of that kind of a ship would be about 140 feet long, 36 feet wide. And that was the typical grain ship that was going. And Paul, with Dr. Luke, with Aristarchus, and Julius, the Roman centurion who was guarding him, joined the other passengers on this grain ship. Paul told the captain, this is not a good time to be leaving. It's too close to Passover. Basically, it said it's too late in the fall for us to be making this journey. And the captain took the advice of the centurion, and he took the advice of the other sailors. The other sailors did not want to stay where they were. They wanted to get home. But there's an interesting phrase in verse 13. They left, they did not follow Paul's advice in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. South winds blew softly. You beware when everything seems to be going your way. You beware that You think there will be no adversities. Look in verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclodon. The ship was caught, could not bear up into the wind. This was the kind of a ship, this grain ship, did not have a kind of a rudder. It just had two things off the back. It could not go into the wind. When you talk, Romans talks about we are more than conquerors. That is called tacking the wind. More than conquer is being able to advance in a ship, a sailing ship, while you're going into the wind. And it was a tacking procedure that would be used. Well, this kind of a ship was not able to do that. And running under a certain island called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, straight sails, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And I'm sure that was in several ways. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Here's Paul, he's the prisoner. He's chained, and he's telling the captain and the crew, should have listened to me, should not have loosed from Crete. And to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. So here we are. If you are in the midst of a storm, I'm saying be of good cheer. It's going to get worse. But whenever you get in a storm, remember who put you in the boat. It's the first thing. You know why Paul was not afraid? Because he knew God put him in the boat. Let's look in Acts chapter 23. Hold your finger there in chapter 27. Let's look in chapter 23 in verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. Same phrase that Paul used. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Paul says, I know God put me in the boat. And I know God doesn't get frustrated in his plan. And I know this is a little unusual way to get there. But we will get there. And he says the words that God gave to him, Paul, be of good cheer. He transferred that message 2 years later to the people in this tossed and twisted ship. And he says, be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I fear, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So not only did God confirm to Paul in chapter 23, 2 years earlier, that he was going to Rome, the night before God confirmed to Paul that not only he would make it to Rome, but everyone on the ship would be safe. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You want a definition of faith? Underline that. That is the best definition of faith you can get. I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Now when the 14th night was come, and were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Now this was no minor pressure they faced. So what are the tendencies when we get in a storm? The first tendency is to feel. Have any of you ever been out in a storm, in a boat? We used to have a commercial fishing business in our family. My brother ran a commercial fishing boat. And we used to go out. They had professional herring chokers on the boats. Those of you familiar with gill netting, you know how this works. Had just put down a whole bunch of new nylon nets, at that time of great expense. And there was a forecast of a coming storm. My brother said, we can't lose the nets, so we've got to get out and get the nets lifted. And so we went out of Beatty Gree very calmly as we went up to Beatty Gree. In fact, he had breakfast for us. As we were going up the channel, the Beatty Creek Channel, which was calm, it was protected from the wind. And then we got out into Lake Superior off Bear Bluff, and we got tossed. The waves were starting and the wind was whistling, and we went out and we could see our buoy flag flapping out there, and we were heading towards that buoy flag, but we got maneuvered up to that buoy flag, and the boat, if you've ever seen these fishing boats, they're like a three-level thing with an open door where the gill nets come through the door, driven by a motor. And we were maneuvering up to that buoy flag, but we had to keep into the waves so we wouldn't get flipped sideways. And I was up top, and I was feeling good. My brother Earl was down, and my brother Heaney was down below, and they were trying to get the lifter motor started. And bending over, putting the rope to pull that, they both got sick. I said, let me start that thing. And they were lightening the ship off the other hole, off the other side. And I bent over, and I wrapped that quarter on to pull that lifter motor. And as soon as I bent over, got down in there where the fumes were in there, I lightened the ship. Seagulls extremely joyful. And I'm going to tell you what. My friend Owen was with us. He went out. He got in the storm with us. And we said it'd be a welcome relief if this thing flipped over. And the only one, Connie Hatler, was at the forward and reverse thing in the back where he was in the fresh air. He was the only one that wasn't sick. But I'll tell you what, I cannot imagine 14 days and 14 nights in that kind of battering type of a storm. We finally abandoned. We lost the nets. We dragged for them later, and they were nothing but one big ball of junk and wood and all kinds of trash that was in that. But we finally gave up hope, and there was no calm at all in my head or anywhere until we got back into the calm of Beatty Creek Bay. And my tendency was to feel. And I didn't know what I felt. But one thing I did feel, and said it many times over, if this thing flips, so what? Your tendency is to feel. And you say, well, how long does a storm last? Or whatever is the source of your storm at this point. In verse 27, and on the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen thought they were coming near to shore because they would sound these fathoms. They would drop these lines and see how many fathoms. And as they would drop and the rope would go down less and less time, they were realizing they were coming on to land. They were coming on to something, but it was dark and stormy. They couldn't tell by sight. And when you get in a storm of life, your tendency is to start feeling, and you cannot live by feeling. Right action must precede right feeling. Oh, you'll get discouraged, and you will get downhearted at times just from the tossing and turning. But don't forget who put you in the boat. We have people who are just quitting so quickly when they get into some type of adversity, forgetting the fact that God told Paul he would get to Rome, but God did not promise Paul that it would be a journey without a hassle. And anytime you determine to prepare to serve God, it's not going to be a journey without hassle. Secondly, there is a tendency to fear. And I think we see that both in the instruction in verse 24, saying, fear not. God gave the instruction to Paul, fear not. And then verse 29, and fearing lest we had fallen upon rocks. And fear comes from the unknown. Most of what we fear comes because of something we don't know. We fear the future. We fear, will I ever have a ministry? Will I ever graduate? We fear, can I pass the class? And the more knowledge you get, the less fear you have for that particular item. If someone told me I had to go to the airport and fly a plane to Chicago, I would be sick with fear because I don't know anything about flying a plane. But if I took flying lessons and if I had all of that knowledge in my head and someone said to do this, I would probably love it so much. I would probably think of some reason to leave earlier to go and get it done. And the difference in the feeling is knowledge. And the difference in the fear factor is now you have a knowledge of that. And that's why you need to make time to go and learn of God, learn of His character, learn of His care. The fact that God is present, that God owns you, and that you are His servant, and that you must trust Him. And then these were true in Paul's life. He realized God's presence. He claimed God's promises. He knew God's ownership. He knew he was a servant of God, and he knew he had to have total trust in God. I don't think anything is more pleasing to our Heavenly Father than the fact that we say, I trust you. Because that is really where rejoicing and worship come, because we realize that God is the one who is in control, and we can say we trust what God is about. There are a lot of things in the future. I look back at my life, I think, boy, I wish I had done this differently, and I wish I had done that differently, and I wish I had prepared better for this time of my life. And if I sit still long enough and start thinking, I start fearing until I start realizing God owns me. I'm His servant. I trust Him. To the best of my knowledge, I walked in obedience as far as I knew, and the fact that God is present. There's a tendency to fear. You might be fearing your next bill. You may be fearing what you're going to do. How are you going to work? Third thing, we have a tendency to flee when we get in a storm. Verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee the ship, stop and think. They were in a horrible storm. The storm was so bad that it was breaking up the ship. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. They put the four anchors out and they just wished for day, so that at the stern, the front of the boat would be going into the waves, and all they could do was wait this thing out. And as the shipmen were about to flee the ship, when they had let down the boats into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchor out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. I mean, what were they lowering? They were lowering lifeboats. They were expecting lifeboats to survive what this huge ship could not survive. How quickly would they have been destroyed? But in your mentality, when you get in the midst of a storm, you think running is the best thing you can do. And it's the worst thing you can do. Test of your character is, what does it take to stop you? What will it keep? What will it take to keep you from serving God? What will it take to keep you from keeping in surrender to God? And here the tendency is to just say, you think, if I could just get out of this situation. No, I say it again, be where you are. If your mind is elsewhere and your body is here, you are going to be miserable because you're living a divided heart with a divided life and a divided mind. And cowards think with their feet. Some of you, for the first time in your life, have to come to a point where you fasten your seatbelt and you're going to go through something instead of running from it or trying to go around it. You say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to trust you to be faithful. If you would have asked these people fleeing, where are you going? We're going to safety. Oh, you are. The safest place they could be was right where they were. Because they were to cast themselves to the sea in a lifeboat, those lifeboats would so quickly have disintegrated or flipped, and these people would not have had any hope. But you know what? When you get in a storm, you don't think logically. I have no idea what would have gone on in my mind after 14 days and 14 nights of this tossing and battering and throwing stuff off the ship, and the very thought of thinking of family and thinking of home and thinking of friends and thinking of relationships, that they're gone. And you think, the worst thing I can do is stay here, and the best thing I can do is leave. But your leaving would leap you right into your own destruction. Because you don't think logically when you get tossed and turned. That's why you have to think biblically. You have to learn to think under the guidelines and the controls of God. And then fourth tendency is to face it. Just say, well, here we go. Face it. There will be storms because life has storms and there is a job to do. Paul knew he had to keep his face set like a flint to Rome because he knew God had him to be there to witness and to see fruit among the Romans that he had as he had among other Gentiles as well. Just face it. A work ethic is something that is tremendously missing. You say, but it's tough. Of course it's tough. That's how we live, facing tough times. And so what they did, verse 32, and the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. So the lifeboat, they cut the ropes of the lifeboat and says, well, we'll let it go. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that we have tarried, continued fasting, and have taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, and this is for your health. Then there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Some of you are thinking, boy, I wish I had been there. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And they were all of good cheer. Note, the feeling followed the right action. But what if they had done what they felt like doing, they would have been destroyed. But they kept on doing what they knew they had to do and to face in spite of fears and in spite of feelings. They had to keep on facing it. Then it came down to a time they were all of good cheer and they were all in the ship. 216 souls, 276 people. Paul had instructed them to save enough food, so he gave them bread and he gave them meat. And the sea must have been settling down. And it came to a point that it's over. We need to come to the point of saying, hey, there's a job to do. Let's do the job. Get in the habit of doing the hardest things first. Any of you get a speeding ticket in the last month as you were faithfully serving the Lord? You pay their get there on time tax, we call it. Speeding tickets. I have to tell you a little story. We were coming back from a meeting. Dr. Vaughn was driving. We got pulled over and state trooper said, can I see your license? He said, no. And the reason I'm speeding is because I killed my grandmother and she's in the trunk. So the trooper goes back to his car. He calls for backup. And the backup comes up to the window and the other trooper stays behind the car. I said, sir, you're going to have to get out and unlock your trunk. He said, no problem. He opened the trunk. It was clean as a whistle. He said, this trooper said you had killed your grandmother and she was in the trunk and you were speeding to bury her. And Dr. Vaughn said, yeah, he probably told you I was speeding too. So that didn't happen. I just gave you a little tip of how to get out of tickets. But don't you say, I told you. If the trooper says, sir, that's not funny. Or ma'am, that is not funny. Face it. And the last tendency is just finish it. Not only you face it, but you finish. Don't be a coward. Don't be weak. Don't put your heart's focus in every different direction in the world. Keep your focus on the job at hand. Even in the midst of a storm, keep your focus on the job at hand. Paul busied himself with serving others. Best way to keep focused in a storm is be looking for being a blessing to someone else. Self-centered, self-serving people can never be of good cheer for any length of time because they are always figuring how they can manipulate to their own personal advantage somehow, some way. Paul said, hey, I'm God's servant. He owns me. He controls me. I trust him. He's sending me to Rome. And on the way to Rome, I'm going to be a servant to others. Why do you think Paul is a prisoner? Was serving food, serving the meat. And then the story goes on. Verse 40. And when they had taken up anchor, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudders, hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The fore part struck fast and the remaining unmovable, but the hinder part of the was broken with the violent waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass that they all escaped to land safe. They finished. You say, I'm getting through. I'm hanging onto a board. I'm barely surviving with this life jacket. But you're making it. What a testimony you will have to tell of the works of God, how God finished providing for you and finished giving you what needed to be given and the things that needed to be done. So when you get in a storm, remember, don't live by feelings or fear or fleeing. Face it and finish it and say, God, you give me grace, you give me strength. You make the provision. God, you are the one who enables. You are the one who strengthens. You are the one who finishes. And in your heart, develop a work ethic. If you have a job to do, do it with all your heart. You'll enjoy it so much more. Some people work harder getting out of work than if they had just done the job. Just do the job. Finish it. Let God strengthen you for that task. And some on boards, some with life jackets, some hanging on to pieces of ships, some with ability are swimming it, but they're all making it. And to the praise of His glory, God will give you the wherewithal to finish as well. Keep looking up. Some of you may not be in any storm, but there are storms coming. And just be prepared.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on storms. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.